You're listening to a message delivered at the Fountains, a United Methodist Church in Fountain Hills, Arizona.
Before Joan reads our parable for today, let me give you a little background on where it came from. Back in 1945, a farmer in Nag Hammadi, Egypt, found a pottery jar containing over 50 papyrus documents, many of them bound together as books. Written in the Coptic language, they became known as the Nag Hammadi Library. The most famous of the books is the Gospel of Thomas. And while the Gospel of Thomas didn't make the cut into the canon of the New Testament with Mark, Matthew, Luke, and John, it's come to be embraced as a document on par with those Gospels. Some scholars even place the date of its having been written as early as 40 of the Common Era, which would make it 30 years older than Mark, much closer to the historical Jesus. Now, that early date is in part why the scholars of the Jesus Seminar give today's parable a pink rating, meaning that, in their opinion, this parable is probably, but not certainly, authentic to Jesus. And yes, that means there are many quotes in the Gospels that Jesus didn't really say, especially in John, but that's another sermon. When you look at Thomas, you immediately see that it's different from the Gospels we have in the Bible. There's no narrative of the life of Jesus and what he did. There's just a collection of sayings and short dialogues. There are no messianic claims, no crucifixion, no resurrection, no final judgment, just advice on how to live. It seems that the purpose of this collection was to remember Jesus' teachings and sayings. In the case of today's parable, a description of the kingdom of God.
From the Gospel of Thomas, saying 97, Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is like a certain woman who was carrying a jar full of meal. While she was walking on a road, still some distance from home, the handle of the jar broke and the meal emptied out behind her on the road. She did not realize it. She had noticed no accident. When she reached her house, she set the jar down and found it empty." Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
You know, there's really no way to sugarcoat it. The pandemic and social distancing are having a catastrophic effect on people's jobs and families and day-to-day lives. The good news is that most people get it, that in order to knock down the spread of the virus and save lives, we need to take drastic measures as a culture. While some people seem to be adjusting with ease to stay-at-home orders by catching up on their reading, perfecting their banana nut bread recipes, or whipping their kids at Monopoly, others find going day after day without seeing others, struggling with financial and health worries, and not being sure what day it is, to be a strain on their mental health. So as we all try to navigate this new normal, one thing has kept coming up for me and with others that I connect with, and that's an awareness of what can only be described as a hollowing out of whatever our old lives used to consist of. There's a space where our old routines used to be that begs to be filled. Some are filling it with binge-watching Netflix or sewing masks or alphabetizing the spice rack, but everyone is working to adjust to a life that has taken on a sudden and very different kind of tenor. The common denominator I've heard from many is that of trying to fill a void, trying to push back against an encroaching sense of emptiness. And in thinking about this, I remembered preaching on a parable in Thomas that had something to do with emptiness. And when I looked it up, lo and behold, Jesus actually compares the kingdom of God to emptiness. Not that there's nothing to the kingdom of God, but that somehow emptiness is beneficial in understanding the nature of the kingdom. In other Gospels, we've heard Jesus compare the kingdom of God to leaven or a mustard seed or a hidden treasure. And all those parables are found in multiple places in different Gospels. But today's parable is found only in the Gospel of Thomas. The kingdom of God is like an empty jar. But more than that, I think when we hear this parable and just jump to the empty jar, it proves that we've lost our ability to be shocked. Did it jump out at you that Jesus said the kingdom of God is like a woman? What? That's pretty radical in a culture where women are on one of the lowest rungs of society's ladder. And then there's the socioeconomic question. The handle of the jar broke. Is this woman so poor that she has to rely on an old, cracked, secondhand jar? Then there's the existential crisis. The precious meal poured out behind the woman on the road, wasted. Does she have so much on her mind that she doesn't notice the meal draining out of the jar? Is she a widow? Does she have children to feed? It's only when she gets home, she puts the jar down and finds it empty. So what do we make of that? How did she not notice? But here's the important thing. To borrow a page from my friend and New Testament scholar Brandon Scott, notice what it doesn't say. It doesn't say the meal leaked from the jar all the way home, and when she arrived, she found the jar full. Woohoo! Now that'd be something. But not too far out, because a story just like that is told in the Hebrew Scriptures. In 1 Kings 17, the prophet Elijah announces there will be a drought in the land. God instructs Elijah to go to a certain place where a widow will provide food and shelter for him. When he arrives, the widow says, "I only have enough to make a meal for myself and my son, and then we're going to die." But Elijah says, "Hold up there, dearie. Don't be afraid. First, make a small loaf of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me. Then the jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the land." She did what Elijah said, and voila, there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and for her family. Brandon points out that the parable of the empty jar reverses the first king's story, and in so doing, creates the real scandal. In our parable, there is no divine intervention. She gets home empty-handed. The kingdom of God is identified not with an intervention, but with the paradox of divine emptiness. What? There's no prophet to come to the woman's aid? Nor will her jar be filled? The kingdom is identified not with divine intervention, but with divine emptiness. Emptiness is the surprise, a provocative and startling ending. But it begs the question, is emptiness a bad thing? Could Jesus be channeling the Chinese teacher Lao Tzu? We shape the clay into a pot, but it's the emptiness inside that we find useful. The true usefulness of the pot is its emptiness. It seems almost too simple. Could emptiness actually be what is critical to eventual spiritual fullness? Like any good parable, the empty jar doesn't provide us with a simple hallmark platitude, but leaves us with more questions. We're left to fill in the blanks. I think many of you know I'm a Buddhist wannabe, mainly because I think Jesus was too, but that's a topic for another time. For today, I'm going to fill in the blanks of this parable for me by thinking about what's called the beginner's mind, or Shoshin in Zen Buddhism. It refers to achieving an attitude of openness that can be described as having an empty mind. to let go of preconceptions about how things work, to eliminate expectations about what will or should happen, and to be open to new possibilities. Experience is great. Knowledge and understanding all have their place. But if your mind is empty, it is open to everything. In the beginner's mind, there are many possibilities, but in the expert's mind, there are few. By embracing the emptiness and not trying to fill it up with stuff, distractions, there's room for fresh perspective and an appreciation of what you might otherwise take for granted. There's room to explore opportunities that you didn't previously consider. And the shock of discovering that your jar is suddenly empty can jolt you out of autopilot and help you slow down enough to see what you're doing and who you are with greater clarity. Look, there's no one correct interpretation, no right way to read a parable. They're like cut and multifaceted precious gems, and part of the genius of Jesus' teaching was in his ability to construct these provocative narratives that stir us up and invite us to reimagine the world. Jesus says that the kingdom of God is like a woman who ends up with an empty jar. And Reverend Dan Harper reminds us that Jesus also tells us the process by which that jar becomes empty. First, the handle of the jar breaks, then the jar empties out over time, and we know that it happens slowly, otherwise the woman would have immediately become aware that the jar was suddenly lighter. The woman only realizes that the jar is empty when she gets home. What we don't know is what happens after that moment. What does she think? What does she do next? Will she have to borrow flour from someone else? Will she be forced to rely on her extended family and the community for help? In other words, will the emptiness force her into tapping into her network of relationships? Perhaps this is the kingdom of God, not the emptiness of the jar itself, but the revealing of the inescapable network of mutuality in which we all live, the connection that binds each of us to the rest of humanity, to the rest of creation, and reminds us of our interconnectedness. In the end, we'd be wise to take the advice of cosmologist and accidental theologian Carl Sagan, who said, "In all our searching, the only thing we found that makes the emptiness bearable is each other." Once upon a time, there was a great samurai general who traveled a long distance to inquire of the Zen master, Nanin. Nanin served tea. He poured his visitor's cup full and then kept on pouring. The general watched the overflow until he could no longer restrain himself. It's over full. No more will go in. Nanin said, "Like this cup, you are so full of your own success and opinions. How can I show you Zen unless you first empty your cup?" The reality of coronavirus has essentially emptied out most of our overfull, overflowing cups. It's rendered each of us in different degrees like the woman in our parable, shocked to discover after all our work and through no fault of our own, other than inattention, our jars are empty. In the end, there's no definitive meaning to the parable of the empty jar. But today, as we make our way through a world of altered priorities and reality, perhaps we can take it as a reminder that living into the kingdom of God isn't about the comfort of material things, the ease of the status quo, or the fulfillment of all our expectations. The degree to which we can embrace the potential of emptiness is the degree to which we have room for the transformational work of the Spirit within each of us. Remembering Ursula K. Le Guin's aphorism, hollowed out, clay makes a pot. Where it's useful is where the pot's not. We're in this together, and I'm grateful we have one another. Be well.
Thanks for listening to this week's Applying It to Life from the Fountains. For more information or to support this outreach with a donation, visit www.weputlovefirst.org.